Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see you. We've missed you, and Bethman's quite correct. We've been away for a few weeks on the holidays. We went, normally this time of the year, we like to fly to the UK to see Jared in England. A lot of you know what we do, but this year we didn't. And so Jared flew here. He made it to one of our services after just flying in. And so we actually went down to Busselton with Jared, and also Ben and Cherie and the grandkids flew over from Melbourne. And so we just had a great time down in Busselton. And I haven't been to Busselton for years. It's beautiful. West Australia is a great place to go and be. And who needs to go overseas when you can go down south? Amen. So we live in a beautiful place. So that's what we did. And people have been saying, how'd your holiday go? And holidays are really, really good. But it's just, I'm a routine guy as well. I just love to come back and see you all and get back into routine. Who's a routine person? Yeah. Who loves to go on holidays? But who loves coming back after a holiday and get back into normal life? Yeah, I'm a little bit that way myself. I'm feeling optimistic, excited. I just feel about this next half of the year is going to be good for you, good for your family, and good for Real Life Church. I know a lot of you have been in battles, and, you know, battles is part of life. You know, when you're a Christian, the battles never cease. Come on, we live in a fallen world. I mean, please, please. You know, but when we go to heaven, then the battles are done. Amen? Amen. Nonetheless, you know, you can have seasons that can be dry. You can have seasons where you just feel like you've been knocked from pillar to post. And some of you know exactly what I feel, what I'm saying. You feel that way. Some of you feel weary and you think, my goodness, what's going on? But, you know, we're coming into, I believe, a good season. And I feel very good about this next half of the year. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Let's look to the Lord. You know, the tougher the life gets, use that as an excuse to lean more into Jesus Christ. You know, and maybe the devil will just pull back a little bit. Amen, amen. So I just want to encourage you. And I just feel very optimistic about the next half of this year. Looking forward to Christmas, thinking about Christmas. We're going to have a great Christmas. Amen. But I got a word from the Lord for you today. And I don't think I've preached actually for about 7 weeks. And I think I might have forgotten how. So, you know, I might start off slow, but we'll warm up. Amen. And this is where we're going to go today. You know, at the end of this service, we're headed for encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now, that song, I Speak Jesus, and you were just honing in on that, Bethlehem, and I felt very strongly about that. Let me tell you, and Andrew, Samuel, listen to me, because we had that little conversation before the service. No matter what the enemy says, no matter the curses of this fallen world, Jesus Christ has all authority over the curses of this world. Listen, you can't curse what God has blessed. Amen? Amen? And I want to encourage you with that, that the name of Jesus has all authority. So when we finish this message today, I want to be praying for people for strength. For strength. I want to pray against weariness today. And so that's where we're headed. And so, Father, we just pray, Father, for this message that we're going to listen to. Lord, we pray our hearts and minds will be engaged. Thank you for wonderful people have shown up on a freezing morning. Amazing. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, as people are hungry for you, Holy Spirit, as Fritz was talking about, the breath of God, we pray the breath of the Holy Spirit upon all of us today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One more thing I want to pray for. And Father, just pray for the children as they go back to school. And as students go back to high school and to university, we pray the blessing of God upon our children. Sometimes they get so nervous about starting school again after holidays. We just pray our children won't be nervous. We pray that they'll be happy. We pray our children will do well at school in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 So today, what we're going to do, we're going to look briefly at the story of a king called Asa from the Bible. A-S-A. There he is. Asa. And some of you have probably never heard of a king in the Bible called Asa. Some of you have, some of you haven't. But it doesn't matter if you haven't heard of him. But we're going to look at his life because his story has tremendous relevance for us today. Amen? So don't allow yourself to be distracted. In fact, now's a good time just to check your mobile phone too, by the way. It doesn't matter about me. Just check, make sure it's off. Amen. Asa, King Asa, occupies just three chapters in the second book of Chronicles, which is in the Old Testament. He occupies chapter 14, 15, and 16 of the second book of Chronicles. Great book to read. Asa was the great, great grandson of King David. Asa was a king of Judah. These are important things just to lay a foundation. He was a king of Judah. Let me explain what that means, because some of us don't know. I've got a map for the screen, and that has got a little red arrow pointing to where Israel is. Most of the Bible centered on Israel. Most of the Bible centered on Israel. And so that gives you the context of where Israel is. And the land of Israel, decades before Asa was born, Israel had a civil war and it split in two. It's really important to remember that. And the north part, so here's a nation, Israel, it's called all Israel, it split in two, it had a civil war, and this north part retained the name Israel, they retained that. The southern part, they took the name Judah after the tribe of Judah. And that's what happened. Two parts. And so the southern part was Judah, and Asa was the king of the southern part, the nation of Judah. Second Chronicles chapter 14 introduces us to Asa, and it says this. I've got the scriptures on the screen. It says, when Abijah died, he was buried in the city of David. That's Jerusalem. Then his son Asa became the next king. There was peace in the land for 10 years. Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. The young King Asa is introduced as a man who did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. Asa did not give way to compromise to fit in with the culture of his age. Asa did not seek to please the rich and powerful people in his land and curry favor with them. He did not seek to please the kings of the other countries around him, the pagan kings. Listen to this. He did not even seek to please his family and friends. He loved them, but he did not curry favor with them. Indeed, Asa had his grandmother, who was very, very powerful woman, had huge influence in his land. He actually deposed of her. He removed her from her position of influence because of her idolatry and because of her wicked ways. Asa intentionally did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. And how did God respond to that? Well, God blessed Asa, and consequently, the land had peace, and it had prosperity. What about you? Are you doing what is pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord your God? Does it even matter to you? Do you live to honor him by the way you treat others and by the way you conduct yourself? Indeed, the scriptures, they urge us to live as citizens of heaven, conducting ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the good news about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, how we live really is important to God. Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
Then after that, so that's after that initial decade of peace, so 10 years had gone by, it was peaceful, this huge mega army. It actually had 1 million soldiers, which is just incomprehensible. Huge army, 1 million soldiers from Ethiopia, which was set northern part of Africa. Huge army came up to attack Judah. They were attacking everybody. And they were just a marauding army, swallowing up everything in its path. And now they had their eyes set on Judah, which was a prosperous land, and they wanted to plunder the land of Judah. They wanted to destroy Asa. So what did Asa do as his nation was about to be attacked? What did he do when he heard about this army? Did he quit? Did he quit following God because trouble was on the doorstep? Oh, I'm a Christian. How come this trouble has come my way? Did he say that? Not at all. Did he become angry at God because of the terrible threat that faced him? No, he did not. He didn't quit and he didn't blame God. The Bible says this. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God. He prayed. Asa cried out to the Lord his God. Oh Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. No one but you. No one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name. We've been singing about the name of Jesus today. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. What a great prayer. About 50 words in that prayer. What a great prayer to pray. Oh Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. And brothers and sisters, I'm reminding you as we're warming up in this message today that God still helps the powerless against the mighty. God identifies with the vulnerable, the broken, and the weak against the mighty. God takes up the cause of those who call upon his name. God fights for those who call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Don't be dismayed by the powerful enemies that you face. And I know some of you are facing incredibly powerful enemies. Don't be dismayed. Look to the Lord. Seek God. Put your trust in the Lord your God. For the Lord says to you today, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Put your hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in God's name, Asa's much smaller army had a great victory over the enemy army that had attacked him. In fact, the Ethiopian army was just decimated, completely destroyed. And they were wiped out before King Asa and his people. And you know what happened? The news of this extraordinary victory just spread all around the Middle East, that part of the world, and it struck fear into the hearts of other nations around Judah. Don't pick on Judah because their God fights for them.
Amen.
Oh, amen. God has a way of taking the bad and bringing good out of it. God has a way of turning the table on the enemy, and God will do the same for you. It's not your job to have to figure out how to get around this problem. Our job is to trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Then after that victorious battle, Asa and his army then returned home, and a prophet from the Lord met with them with a word from the Lord. And we've got it on the screen. He said this, "Listen to me, Asa," he shouted. "The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him."
That's right.
"The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him." We know in the New Testament it says, "Draw near to God and he will." Whenever you seek him, you will find him. "But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. If you abandon him, he will abandon you." And that word from the Lord to Asa, that prophetic statement from the prophet, brings to mind the story of Samson. Samson was a guy who had supernatural strength from the Lord. He was chosen by the Lord. But when Delilah cut Samson's hair, the Bible says that the Lord left him. Samson's hair was a physical sign that he belonged to God. He was a Nazarite from birth, separated unto the Lord, chosen by God, a special relationship covenant. His hair was a physical sign that he belonged to God. And yet Samson failed to protect his hair because he treated his special relationship with God as something trivial. Samson Samson abandoned God first. And so God removed his favor and blessing from Samson as his hair, the seven locks of his hair, fell to the ground. But the Bible says Samson didn't even know. He didn't even know that the Lord had left him until he quickly ran into trouble and he was overcome and defeated. Samson was very foolish. So here we are again in this story, centuries later after Samson with Asa. And Asa's a man who's doing what is pleasing and good in the Lord's sight. And this is what the Lord said to him. The Lord will stay with you as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Jesus Christ said something to us also that dovetails together with what the prophet said to Asa. Jesus said this in Matthew 11. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Stay with me. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. It's easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light." Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. It's actually a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's actually a commandment. He commands us to take his yoke upon us. When training a new ox to plow, ancient farmers often yoked, you know, that wooden thing they put between the animals, often that's the yoke. They often yoked the new ox to an older ox. They teamed up a new ox with an older, stronger, more experienced animal who bore the burden and guided the young animal through the learning process. So the farmer knew who was his experienced ox, and now here's a young one. And so even though they're walking together, the truth of the matter is it was the experienced ox, it was a strong ox who was actually doing most of the work. The young ox was just tagging along. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's how they trained them. Similarly, Jesus commands us to be yoked to him as we journey through life. Jesus is the stronger one. Jesus carries our burdens. Jesus knows how to walk in victory. Jesus is the one who's experienced. Jesus knows how to walk in peace. He knows how to walk in strength. And so when we're yoked to Jesus, his victory becomes our victory. His strength and peace become our strength and peace. Is somebody listening today? You hear what I'm saying? See, we're no longer slaves to fear when we're yoked to Jesus Christ. We're no longer victims when we're yoked to Jesus. We are victors. Amen. Amen. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. So stay yoked to Jesus. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Therefore, everybody at Real Life Church, I urge you to stay yoked to Jesus Christ. Keep walking with Jesus. In the book of Micah, who was also a prophet, Micah 6:8 says this, "He has showed thee, O man," King James Version, "he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy," and here we go, "and to walk humbly with thy God." Amen. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. But that requires humility on our part. We must walk humbly with our God. God is the leader in our relationship. He's the strong one. He's God, we're not. He's God, we're not. Let's not get confused about our roles here. He's God, we're not. That's a good place to say amen. He knows everything, we don't know much. So in view of that, that means, please listen carefully, we must surrender to Jesus, our hearts, Our attitudes. I want to do a sermon in a few weeks' time about attitudes. Too many people are mean and too many people have bad attitudes. Amen. Not here, but anyway. We've got to surrender our dreams. Surrender your dreams. Surrender your opinions. You might be wrong. I was wrong once. Amen. That was a bad joke. I'm wrong a lot. But so we've got to surrender to him our hearts, our attitudes, our dreams, our opinions, our sexuality. It does matter who you're sleeping with. Our relationships, our health, our ambitions. Because Jesus has something to say about every area of our lives. And we find what he has to say in the Word of God. Amen. And we learn from him how to do life in all of these things. We humble ourselves because our relationship with Almighty God is more important than anything else in our lives. The psalmist said this, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Sadly, much of the modern day church has forgotten how to walk humbly with Jesus. Eagerly doing what is pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord is considered by some to be silly and archaic. Some consider taking the whole Bible as truth as being intellectually absurd. Jesus Christ is treated by some as just a teacher of some good things and a dispenser of blessings only. Many want the kind of Jesus who will meet their needs, but they don't want him to demand too much from them. They don't want to be yoked to Jesus and learn from him because they're too smart for that. They want to have God's favor upon their lives, but they don't want to repent of their sins and humble themselves before the Lord. And so instead of being hungry to hear about walking humbly with Jesus, our modern Christian audience today, many in it, not all churches, but many do, they prefer messages that major on how we can reach our full potential and realize our dreams. The mantra of some in our modern church is that God loves me the way I am and that I'm really, really special to him. I'll say that again because it's actually, people don't pick up what people say. People say this. People say, God loves me the way I am and I'm really, really special to him. God loves me the way I am. That's the mantra of the modern church. God loves me the way I am and I'm really, really special to him the way I am. The problem with that statement is actually not found in the Bible anywhere. God does not love you the way you are. Jesus never taught that. That's actually heresy. It's wrong teaching. God loves you in spite of the way you are. That's what the Bible teaches. And Jesus came to change the way you are and set you free from sin and to teach you how to truly live life to the full as he has purposed for you and for me. Amen. Amen. Difference. You know, we've got to be careful what we're reading and looking at on YouTube. Big difference. So without repentance and without humility, God can do nothing for you or for me. There's no divine blessing upon a person's life unless they are yoked and submitted to Jesus Christ. How can there be blessing on a person's life? The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. It's interesting, the story of Asa, because then, so it's in three chapters, and I've just covered two chapters so far. Then the Bible story of Asa then just takes this massive 25-year leap into his future. It skips over most of his life, just doesn't tell us really much of what's been going on. The story of Asa in the Bible over those three chapters really just focuses on his beginning, his good years, and then it focuses on his end. And so we come to chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles, and we find that Asa has been king of Judah now for many years. And so he's not a young man anymore. Life has passed by quickly for King Asa. He's finding life's passing by quickly for them. Yeah, me too. Amen. And now there's this new military threat to Judah that has now arisen in the north. Remember the two kingdoms? It's now arisen in the north. And Israel, who's gone fully pagan, left God, and they're now threatening the southern kingdom, and they're threatening Judah. And this is a serious threat to the security of Judah. And so old King Asa, he's old now, he's got to do something. So what did King Asa do? Well, he prayed to the Lord his God, didn't he? No, he didn't. Read the story. He didn't pray to the Lord his God at all. So what did Asa do? Well, instead of praying, Asa went to the temple of God and took away from God's temple the silver and the gold from the treasures of the Lord's temple and from his own royal palace. Then he took the treasure that belonged to God and he gave it away to a pagan nation. He sent all of this treasure to curry favor with his people. He sent it all to the king of Aram. Aram was fully pagan with no respect for God. They were actually an enemy of Judah. And now he's here currying favor with them with treasure from the Lord's temple. And he asked pagans for help against his problem instead of asking the Lord for help against his problem. And this is what Asa said to the king of Aram. He said, "Let there be a treaty, seriously, between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I'm sending you silver and gold. I'm buying your favor." That's what he's doing. "Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone." And the king of Aram agreed to do what Asa requested. He broke his treaty with Israel and then he attacked Israel himself. So the king of Israel had to turn around from Judah and he had to defend his nation now from the king of Aram. And Judah escaped trouble again. Yippee! Well done, Asa. The plan worked. It had some success. And I reckon everybody celebrated. They had parties in the street and they said, "Hey, you're a great king. Well done, Asa." And they patted him on the back. You know, Asa, Asa, A-S-A, yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me an A, give me an S, give me an A. We love Asa. The plan worked. But then something happened. After that victory, another prophet showed up with a message from God for King Asa. You know, sometimes those prophets were nuisances. Especially when they had a word from the Lord for a king and the Bible. And this is what the Bible says. At that time, Anani, the prophet, came to King Asa and told him, "Because you've put your trust in the king of Aram instead of the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. You've just now inherited a problem, mate." Wow. Wow, they're not going to be patting you back in a few years' time. "Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time you relied on the Lord and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you've been. From now on, you will be at war." How did King Asa respond? Well, he fell to the ground and repented at the word of the Lord. No, he didn't. He didn't do that at all. He didn't repent. He just got mad. He got angry. Anani, he got so angry at the prophet that he put the prophet of God in jail. Then 3 years later, Asa got this terrible disease in his feet. But even when he was sick and dying, he refused to seek the Lord's help. Asa relied on the doctors. And in addition to that, Asa went funny and strange and he started to oppress his people. He started to abuse his people, especially the poor. You know, Asa died badly. Asa died poorly. He finished badly. Asa did not finish well. He started as a king who did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord, but he finished as a king who had abandoned God. Raises the question, what terrible thing happened to Asa during that 25 years that caused him to lose his faith in God? What happened to the poor guy? What happened between when he was a young guy and an old guy? What happened to Asa that caused him to stop doing that which is pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord? I'll tell you what happened. You ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Judah flourished during those years. God blessed them. There was no more wars or threats during those years. Nothing happened. Nothing significant or traumatic happened to Asa other than the daily grind. It was life that wore his faith down. Please listen. Life wore his faith down. He had a family to care for. He had a nation to lead. He had to manage his relationships, diplomatic relationships with other nations. He had ups, he had downs. That's how life is. He probably had some disappointments. How can you get through life without some disappointments? Who knows what I'm talking about? Of course he had disappointments. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been human. He was just doing life. He was busy. He was distracted. But while doing life, he forgot to pay attention. He forgot to nurture. He forgot to strengthen his walk with Almighty God. Over that 25-year period, listen, he drifted in his faith. I'll say it again. The book of Hebrews warns us against doing this in chapter 2. Warns us against drifting. He didn't mean to drift, but he just got so distracted, forgetting about God, forgetting about his faith. He just drifted in his faith. He went from doing that which is pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord to taking that which belonged to God and treating it as a trivial thing. He was successful on the outside, but he died on the inside. Did you know you could come to church, brothers and sisters, and people could think you're great on the outside, but you could have died a long time ago on the inside?
Yes. Right.
He had become yoked. Listen, he became yoked to the distractions of life rather than staying yoked to Jesus Christ. You know, we've always got a justification for something that we have to pay attention to in our life. Oh, the car needs fixing. The kids need going to this, you know. I've got to do this. I've got to work three jobs. We've always got a reason for these things. But if we're not careful, we become yoked to the distractions of life instead of becoming yoked, staying yoked to Jesus Christ. And it's a warning for us today. I'm bringing it intentionally because it's crazy out there. Even churches are going crazy out there. Sometimes I hear some, so I listen to stuff too. I listen to podcasts. I was listening to one the other day. What are people doing to the Bible? And so this story of Asa is a warning to us. And dear brothers and sisters here at Real Life Church, don't be like Asa.
Yeah.
Stay the course. I urge you, stay the course. Be alert. Wake up. Wake up. Be alert. Pay attention to your heart. Stir yourself up. Seek the Lord. Worship the Lord. Check your spiritual thermometer. Get a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. Go and seek the Lord and stay yoked to Jesus Christ. Make the attitude, change your attitude. No matter how I feel today, I'm going to stay yoked to Jesus Christ. I'm in this thing for the long haul. Recently, Rochelle and I, we're still happily married, by the way. I just want you to know that. I know. We've recently had a 10-year-old foster child living with us. And she's been with us for about 10 weeks or so. And as you would expect, there have been some challenges having a 10-year-old girl come into your home. And I'm only used to boys. I discover that girls are very different. I'll stick to my notes and won't digress on those differences. Our sweet girl has an extraordinary amount of energy that just defies belief. She has two speeds, sleep and full on. There's no in between. And when it comes to mealtimes, I like things to be quiet at mealtimes. I like us to be reflective. Keep discussions to a minimum. I like the food to go down smoothly without any. But now we have a chatterbox. It has lots to say. Who's an expert on every subject. And she has lots to say even if you don't want to listen. She just won't stop. Another thing is this, is that we've also discovered that parenting children is different to what it was 30 years ago. Yes. We just feel like we're just so old and old-fashioned, and, you know, we used to believe. I don't want to unravel this too much, but just things have changed. Even the schools, I'm just shocked at what's going on in our modern schools today. Appalled, actually, is a word, but I'll bite my tongue, leave it there. It's changed, parenting's changed, and so we're trying to relearn. Sincerely, we're trying to relearn and get up to speed with modern things. And that's been our world. And so wariness has recently gone to a whole new level in the Warwick household. Even our dog is now wary. It's spreading. There's only one person who's not wary, and that's a 10-year-old girl in our house. Amen. Weariness. And life weariness at home or from work. You can be working really hard, long hours. And that weariness can seep into your walk with the Lord if you don't watch out. It's not a sin to be weary. Life has its ups, its downs. You know, we have our seasons of all sorts. It's part of life. But you've got to watch out. It doesn't seep into your walk with the Lord. You know, it can be hard trying to find time to have a devotion time, particularly when I remember when Michelle and I first got married, I went through several jobs, and some of those jobs were early, some of them late, and I was always having to turn my, you know, figure out when's a good time to have a devotion. From early morning to late at night, I tried everything. And sometimes when you're weary, it's hard to find a devotion time with the Lord when the family or work demands your attention. And so I do want to say this. I just want to take my hat off to all the parents here today, single parents. If you're fortunate to have a couple, and you know, take my hat off to you guys too. I want to also take my hat off to the grandparents who are here today. And our girl has given me a fresh appreciation for all the families. Families like you, who come faithful, who are faithful and come to the Lord. I went to another church. We were on holidays down in Boston, as I said, and we went to a church. Took my grandkids and took our foster girl. And they didn't have children's ministry. And I was that family with noisy kids. I did everything to keep them quiet. And people look at you and you think, and, you know, and you resort to everything. I forgot the iPads. And, you know, and you do everything. You bow down, whisper to them, listen, I'll buy you anything you want. Just shut up. Just shut up. Colour in the page. Stop playing with the car keys. I was one of those families. We actually had to leave. The kids were so badly behaved. They were. Anyway, that's another story. And I felt quite humiliated by that because they announced I was in the church service, a pastor from Gosnells. That made it even worse. The only thing that gave me joy is another man came in with his two children. He lost control of his kids and one of his kids was running across the platform while the person was trying to preach. And, you know, I'm going like this. Control your kid, mate. So the Lord's given me a fresh appreciation for all our families who are, you're faithful to the Lord. You make the effort to pile the kids into the car. And there's nothing worse when you pile into the car and you smell something bad and think, who was that? Oh, just change that nappy. Oh, we'll just take them to church with a dirty nappy. Who cares? Amen. You pile the kids into the car. You come along to church. You try to make it on time. Sometimes it's hard to do that. I know. Got to get the kids ready. Got to brush their teeth. Got to comb their hair. feed them food. And what I want to simply say to you all is, well done, everybody, Real Life Church. Well done to the parents. Well done to the grandparents. Thank you. And I want to encourage you, keep bringing your kids to church. In a couple of weeks' time, I want to talk more about children's ministry, but which is really important. But, you know, Rochelle and I, sometimes when our kids were little, we used to go and sit in the creche. I used to sit in the creche because Rochelle used to play keyboard. I used to hold Jared in my arms. And sometimes we'd talk about, is it even worth coming to church? I just seem to spend all my time in the creche and, this baby's crying and, all of that. But I think it is worth it. And the reason why we kept on doing it is because we wanted to teach our children that we go to the house of the Lord to worship the Lord. And so even if your kid plays up, your kid is still welcome at Real Life Church. Just keep them quiet and don't let them up on the platform. Amen. Amen. So here's a verse from the story of Asa that I want to leave you with and to encourage you to seek to be yoked to Jesus. And we're going to pray. The Lord said through the prophet to Asa, and we've read it already, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord, he's looking, search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Who is the Lord searching for? Not the rich or the popular or the clever. He's looking at people's hearts. He's searching for those people who are fully committed to him. Why is he searching for them? Why is he searching for you? He's searching for them so he can strengthen them at home. Well, when the kids wake him up at night and they've got to go to work the next day, he strengthens them at work when the boss is demanding that they work a couple of extra hours every day. He strengthens them to keep following him. And he strengthens them as they juggle the demands of life. Oh, man, I'm not coping, but I'm going to be fully committed to the Lord and he will strengthen you. And God has strength for you today. God wants you to be with you in all the stuff of your life. And you may feel very weary today and exhausted. You may feel weak. You may feel like life is against you, but God has strength for you today. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.